The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning. Happy winter solstice. Last night was our longest day of the year. Woohoo! So the days will be getting a little longer now. But before we gear up for the new year, hopefully we'll have a little rest, a little retreat. We're all packed up here for retreat. My name is Fusho, and I'm filling in for Kokio, who's one of our dear senior students and members who had a fall and broke her pelvis and a few other bones. So she's in rehab, she's in recovery. And we're sending all of our love and best wishes for healing. I'm sure it's been a little hard and a little bit scary. So I thought I'd talk about some stuff that's been coming up for me about in regards to fear. Specifically, the type of anger that I think comes out of fear. Which is probably a lot of different types of anger. But for me, personally, I've been experiencing and working very closely with a type of anger that comes out of fear and just becoming aware of it and trying to acknowledge it. So this talk is called Making Friends with Fear, or Why I Become an Asshole When I'm Riding a Bike on the New York City Streets. I've been riding the city bike a lot. I ride it a lot. I ride it here to the Zendo in the mornings, and that when I open, and that's pretty smooth sailing. It's really early, and there's nobody on the street, really. But I ride it all around the Lower East Side. It's not that trafficy. It's really the best way to get around. And lately I've been going back to a yoga practice, which I haven't been able to do for a few years. So I've been going a little bit out of my regular routine up to Union Square. And kind of like midday is my midday break. I work from home right now. And there's a lot of obstacles on the New York City streets. And something I've become aware of over the last few months, something really happens inside me that I haven't noticed in other day-to-day interactions with people, but it's really dramatic and it's been surprising me a little bit. I mean, you might think I've developed a case of Tourette's. I find myself, this practice, when we're sitting on the cushion, you know, it trains us to become aware of our thoughts, enables us to make some space around the thoughts once we're aware of them. And that's the practice that we do over and over on the cushion. And that, I think, is hard enough. But then it's, you know, so how does that transfer? How do we take that out into the world? So I've got the part on the bike where I'm very aware of my thoughts, but it's become very, mostly mumbling to myself. Sometimes like farther out than into the street than just myself. And it's been really this reaction that I cannot control. This total like, what the fuck are you doing? Under my breath, like, you know, if someone stops or if someone pulls out or if someone walks across the street and they're not looking, it's just constant navigating. And the constant response from me is this freak out of like, you fucking asshole. Which at least now I'm noticing, because apparently, according to my husband, I've always been like that on the bike. Which But I had no idea because I was so proud. I was like, something's happening to me when I'm riding my bike. And he's like, no. You're always like that on the bike. So I decided to just really try to take a look at it because I don't really like that part of myself that's coming out in this very aggressive, kind of ridiculous way, depending on the situation. You know, I don't know. It's like feeling like I've become a different person. And I just decided, well, what in the world is actually making me so angry? Because if, you know, there are times when I look up and I can see the person that might have stopped in their car in the middle of the crosswalk, in the middle of the red light, and have enough awareness to know that they didn't mean to do that. It wasn't like they intentionally are trying to block me from crossing the street, although it can feel like that. But I thought a lot about it, and I think it has to be coming from a fear, which is actually a very rational fear. There is a type of fear that we all experience that has to do with protecting ourselves, you know. And of course, we need to be rational about when we're in danger, you know, how to respond. We hope we can protect ourselves. But it's all relative, right? So I've noticed that my response has been a little bit bigger than whatever is getting in the way. And so I said, you know, well, how do I work on this? Because I don't think it's that productive. I don't think I'm helping the flow of the traffic by screaming obscenities at people. And I'm very judgmental when I see other people screaming obscenities at people. Like, oh, what an asshole. And then I've becoming that asshole. So I decided to try you know, I decided to try loving kindness. Because I don't know what else to do. And I can see the absurdity of it. I'm not going to work. I'm not, like, nobody's actually about to run over me. I'm going to yoga, which I see as, like, a luxury. But I am usually running late, which is my fault, not anybody else's fault. And I'm, like, rushing, and it's like, get out of the way. I'm trying to get to yoga, which kind of defeats the purpose of the yoga, for one thing. So I thought, okay, so what is this loving kindness practice? It's, because I've learned it in yoga. Maybe be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be happy. So I tried on the bike, may I be peaceful. May I be well. May I be full of ease. May I be happy. Then that just felt like, I sound like I'm terrified. Like, it's all about me, like hoping that I'm peaceful. So then I thought, okay, so this asshole that's just pulled out in front of me, may you be peaceful, may you be, you know, full of loving kindness, may you be healthy. And I was like, well, that felt kind of condescending. May you be peaceful. May you be more, like, calmer in your car or walking across the street. So then I tried... may we be peaceful. And I actually just got it down to, because I want all of us to be peaceful on the street, because who doesn't want that? So then I got it down to, may we go in peace. At least, like, intellectually in my head, I said, that's what I'm going to do. So, you know, every time something comes up and I have that knee-jerk reaction, it still comes out, like, what the fuck are you doing? And then I'm working on, may we go in peace. And I'm here to say that I haven't gotten it down. I haven't gotten it down. I would say maybe 1 in 20 knee-jerk reactions now on the bike is, may we go in peace. I do want that. I do want that, you know. So that's been my challenge. That's been the taking it out into the world and the examining closer, taking a closer look at It's anger, but what is that really underneath that? It's a fear. It's definitely a fear. It's definitely, besides a fear of being hit, it's a fear of not being seen. It's a fear of not being heard, not standing up for myself, not, being overlooked, being, you know, stampeded. It's just a fear of being vulnerable. And then once you get there, for me, that's like, oh, yeah, that's a big one. Fear of being vulnerable. Fear of, so the practice on the cushion and in Zen, it's about finding this middle way, right? So don't, how do we not hold on too tight to what that is, whatever's coming up, the fear, which might be like screaming in response versus maybe just suppressing it, pushing it down, denying it, pretending that we're not afraid. Sometimes denying the fear, it could be very paralyzing, or it can be very harmful because we're screaming, but that's not really what's going on. Like, we're not actually angry. It's really like a denial of what's underneath that. And once we let go of some of those, you know, borders and those defenses and things come down, so we have a little space to respond differently. Even that, for me, I feel is really scary, can be really scary. It can be really scary to be vulnerable because suddenly if our defenses are down, that means that's not knowing. That's taking away the safety blanket. And we don't know what's going to happen in that moment. But the reality is, you know, do we ever know? Can we ever know? And can we really avoid these things that are actually very scary? Old age, sickness and death, injury, accident. I don't think we can. And so the practice is about how are we in relation to those facts of life? How do we respond to that? We hear a lot about just overcoming fear. You should just overcome it. You should conquer it. You should be strong. And I find that is like pretty rich in our culture, that push that aside and be brave and be strong, no matter what else you do. Which I think is very different than acknowledging the fear. And finding a way to at least maybe not be friends or buddies with it, but to be comfortable with it enough that we know it's there, but we can still ride on the street without being an asshole. You know, or can we jump out of a plane even though we're afraid? Can we go into a long dark night and allow ourselves to look a little closer, you know, at what's coming up and why we're responding a certain way? My dad used to tell this story about the first time that he jumped out of a plane if he went skydiving. I was really little when he told me this story, but he said that he was terrified. He was doing it for fun, but he was terrified. He thought he should try it. And he went up with this guy that was like an ex-Army, Air Force guy. And he was scared to death, and he did it, and he jumped, and he was scared the whole way down. He was scared when he got down. And he's like, okay, but I did it. So he asked the instructor, you know, so it gets easier every time, right? And this instructor was like, nope. It's just as fucking scary every fucking time, and that's why I love it. And my dad never jumped out of a plane again. That was it for him. Because he couldn't stand that idea. Like, wait, it's going to be this scary every single time? So I don't know. I think that's the gist. How do we... It's going to be scary. I think that we have to figure out a way for that to be okay. But thank you. So Buddhist scholar Ernest Becker wrote, "The irony of man's condition is that the deepest need is to be free of the anxiety of death and annihilation. But it is life itself which awakens it, and so we must shrink from being fully alive." I was reading about Buddhist perspectives on fear. There's an Australian Tibetan Buddhist, Chalig Kyalbin Rinchope, who says the very act of dealing with fear is attaining fearlessness. The very act of dealing with fear is attaining fearlessness. And that sounded to me like Dogen saying the very act of setting our intention to sit zazen is enlightenment. So we don't do two things that are separate. First, overcoming fear, and then starting on the project of developing fearlessness. All the fears are not going to just magically disappear. We need to develop stability and insight. Stability in itself is not sufficient. Feeling a bit more calm and relaxed is not sufficient to overcome the deep sense of anxiety and anxiousness at the core of our being. To overcome it, we need insight, which according to Buddhism involves profound reflection on our lives. And that includes looking really deeply at our fear. He points out, if we're looking closely at it, we can see that there's not an object of fear separate from the subject who is afraid. So there's not me and this thing that makes me afraid. How fearful one is in relation to an object varies from individual to individual. And even with the same individual, it varies from one time to another. So how one experiences fear in relation to a particular object this year will be different from last year, or this week from last week, or this afternoon from this morning. There's a story that I heard, or that I found online, about a monastery in the mountains in China, and some wild deer would come onto the monastery's beautiful grounds. The monks loved the deer, and they enjoyed feeding them. And when the abbot heard about it, he came out shouting and waving his arms and attacking the deer with his staff. And the deer became alarmed and ran away. And the abbot put up a notice saying, "There must be no more feeding the deer, and any deer seen on the property were to be chased off." And the monks protested, saying, "We came here to learn kindness and compassion. What sort of example are you getting so mad at these gentle animals? This can't be right." And the abbot addressed the community and said, "Look, there's hunters in these mountains. The only defense these animals have is their fear. If you take that away from them, they'll all be killed really soon." So if we didn't have fear, if we were truly fearless, we might be in terrible danger without knowing it. And we have awareness in order to be wary. It's a fact that we get frightened, and simply exerting more and more willpower to overcome our fright or posing as though we're unaffected or screaming at people on the street doesn't send it away. We could say Zen Master Dogen points to a way to use fear or that energy to practice when he says we should train in Zen as if our hair was on fire. In that case, if that was really true, we would certainly be alarmed and take urgent action and feel very alive. I find myself confronted with being vulnerable and what that means on a regular basis, and I'm working with it. I've noticed that it actually makes me really crabby to feel vulnerable, but at least I'm now aware that that's what's happening, and it's probably not the other person who didn't see me and pulled in front of me. I went to this exhibit at the Bronx Botanical Gardens this summer. It was Georgia O'Keeffe. And she had taken a trip to Hawaii. I don't know if anyone saw it. She wrote all these letters about her journey to Hawaii for the first time. And this is in the 1930s. And so she, you know, I thought about, oh my God, so you didn't fly. You couldn't fly. She lived in New York. So the first step was taking a train ride across the country to get to the other coast before getting on the boat to go all the way over to Hawaii. So back then it was like a seriously huge adventure into uncharted territory. I was thinking, like, talk about not knowing. And she has a quote that she's very famous for when she talks about art in her life. And she says, I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing that I wanted to do. Maybe I'll try that on the bike. I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life. I'll never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do. But my reflection on this has reminded me or shown me, you know, first of all, I'm not the only one riding on the street. And second of all, this is a response that we all have. This is a human condition, this fear. So maybe I'm not the only one that's responding, you know, out of anger based on fear. Maybe that's not just me. And maybe I can start to recognize other people's anger as something that might be coming from some place of fear. And then respond differently to that anger that's I feel is coming at me. You know, maybe I can take a step back and say, so they don't agree with me. They don't vote the same way. They are doing something that I don't think is right. But, you know, what makes me like the one with all of the answers? I have that same experience of fear. So maybe we can start from that place instead of, get out of the fucking way! I think if we can just take it a little less personally, keep our practice going, keep practicing on the loving kindness, and make a little space, hopefully that can help us all more peacefully go on the streets. And I just want to send a new end of year wish that even if you're not heading out into a retreat, that you can just take a little bit of time to reflect and look a little deeper at whatever response might be coming up that you recognize as not very productive and not helpful. And may we go in peace.